How's everybody doing tonight? Well, we're going to continue the study on this term called worship.
All right.
And tonight we're going to define what is a true worshiper. In John chapter 4, verse 23, Jesus said, "The hour cometh, and now is that hour, where the true worshipers." So let's talk tonight about what a true worshiper is. It is the job of the Holy Spirit to lead you into the presence of Jesus. And Jesus will absolutely take you to the Father. The last time we were together, we reviewed the protocol for proper prayer, or the proper protocol in worship. So let me define what is extended worship. Extended worship means to offer up praise out of the inner sanctuary of your heart. Private worship, extended worship, means to offer up praise out of the inner sanctuary of your heart. That's the definition of private praise. It means to offer words of adoration and praise out of the priesthood of your own heart, not words that someone else is providing. Now, when Loranda is singing, even though she's singing, and you're singing with her, you should be pouring out adoration and praise out of your own heart. Come on now.
Amen.
Otherwise, it's just a concert. It's just another concert. But when you are entering into praise, this is not a time for you to be entertained. This is a time for you to begin out of the inner sanctuary of your own heart, out of the priesthood of your own heart, to offer up words of adoration and praise. You begin to tell, now listen to this, you begin by telling Jesus how much you love him. You begin by telling the Father how much you love him. You begin to tell him that you worship him. You've come to worship him. I just come to give you praise. Just come to worship you. I come to glorify you. I come to lift you up. I just come to give you praise. Sometimes I'll say something like, "I love you more than life itself," because I do. See, many have asked, well, where does that verse come in Revelation? And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they love their lives not unto death. Well, when you begin to worship God, you'll begin to lay, when you begin to worship God that way, that you love him more than life itself, you'll begin to lay your own life down. Mm-hmm. People that don't know him, they struggle with this. Their experience of worship is for someone else to provide the words and the beat, and then they join in. That's not worship. That's lip service. Don't shout me down now, church. Don't shout me down now, church. See, do you want worship what man calls worship, or do you want worship what God calls worship? What God calls worship is when it's coming out of your heart. And when you're bringing all of you, your spirit, soul, and body, your mind, your will, your emotions, your intellect, you're bringing all of that to him, and you're giving him praise. That's worship. When music is provided, what does it do? It whisks you off your feet and seemingly takes you to heaven. The music provides you with the beat, which stirs your emotions, and the lyrics provide the thought process. Again, that's lip service. That's not worship. This is why you sing the song and you can still hate the guy sitting next to you. Just providing lip service. See, if it's true worship, and you say, "I love you, God. I love you, Father." Well, the same love you love him with is the same love you got to love your enemy with. I didn't say your friend. I said your enemy. Don't shout me down now. Now, in Matthew chapter 6, I think he has that scripture back there. He might not. But if you have your Bibles, go over to Matthew chapter 6. Jesus used a term several times in Matthew chapter 6, specifically in verses 2, 5 and 16. And that term was hypocrite. hypocrites, unlike true worshipers. Unlike true worshipers. So what I'm saying is this. When you worship God, are you being hypocritical? Y'all looking at me like a cow looking at a brand new gate. Y'all don't know whether to throw stones, question what I'm saying. But you know it's always going to turn out right. It's always going to be the truth. Hypocrites, unlike worshipers, don't pray in closet because they have a need to be seen and heard. But a true worshiper doesn't have to be seen and heard. The way you see me worshiping God tonight, I can worship God like that in my bedroom. I can worship God like that in my automobile. I don't care who's looking. I don't care who. Listen, if a guy can put up next to me and have his music going blasting loud and it's that, what's that, hip hop, whatever it is, a thump, 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 I can raise my hands and give God praise. If they're not ashamed, I'm not ashamed at all. I'm not ashamed. I'll give God some praise. Why? Because praise is uncontrollable. When that wave of praise hits you and you just throw those hands up, that's just you giving God praise spontaneously. That is not being a hypocrite. That's being a true worshiper. I said that's being a true worshiper. But true worshipers, we choose the words from the inner priesthood of our own heart. There's a priesthood on the inside of you. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You're a priest. There's a priesthood on the inside of you. What does a priest do? What was the priest's job? No, it wasn't to preach. The priest went to God on behalf of the people. That's who you are. You're that priest now. You should be ministering to God. True worshipers lift up their hands. Now get this. They block everybody out, and they begin to tell him how much they love him, that they magnify him, they exalt him, and love him more than life itself. That's a true worshiper. A true worshiper doesn't have to be talked in to give God praise. Now, a true worshiper will start out having to make the effort to give. We're supposed to pray for somebody for you, right? Praise the Lord. Don't let me forget. Hallelujah. See, I remember some of these things. I don't forget. Glory to God. But a true worshiper knows how to exalt God, knows how to give God praise. He understands it's God. There's only one thing that I can give my Father that nobody else can give him. That's my praise. See, I can give God something that you can't give God. And that is my praise. You can't give God my praise. Now, you can give God your praise, but you can't give God my praise. Only I can give God my praise. That's why he seeketh such. He seeketh such to give him praise. Now, a true worshiper, he learns how to offer his soul in worship. A true worshiper learns to offer his soul in worship. Now, when I refer to your soul that is being offered up in worship, I am specifically referring to your mind, your will, your intellect, and your emotions. When I talk about your soul, I'm talking about your mind, your will, your intellect, and your emotions. Did I leave anything out? So we're talking about a true worshiper knows how to properly offer his mind, his soul, I mean, his mind, his will, his intellect, and his emotions. Now, I keep teasing you about this. We're going to talk about it a little bit this night, but I'm going to teach you about this brazen altar. Very, very important. But at that brazen altar, it's where you have to learn to offer these things up to God. My soul is the part of me that I use to make contact with my fellow man and you. I contact God how? John 4:24 says what? Can you put that up on the screen? What does John 4:24 says? Huh? God is a spirit, and they that worship him. These verses you need to get in your heart. These verses, well, if you'll begin to meditate on these verses, they'll begin to create spontaneous worship on the inside of you. God is a spirit. He's a spirit. Now, Jesus was a spirit. He still is a spirit, but he's contained in a body now. And he'll never go back to just being nothing but a spirit. He's in a body now. Man, you ought to see him when he comes off that throne. You go to heaven and you look around heaven and there are all these 24, there's 24 elders around the throne. But you know what about those 24 thrones around the throne of God? The elders ain't there. They're not there. You know why they're not there? This is why most of you are going to be shocked when you get to heaven. Because they're out serving people. They're out serving the saints. Heaven is a place of serving. I said heaven is a place where you'll serve. You'll serve. You think Peter's going to run up to you and go, I bought these nice luscious grapes just for you. No. No. You're going to be serving. When Jesus leaves the throne of God and he walks out of that cloud, that spirit that's around that throne, he walks out and he keeps looking back like, I really don't want to leave you, but I got to go serve. And the Father goes, wink. Yeah, I know. Even Jesus serves. Come on, somebody. Even he serves. He serves. Jesus also worships his Father. That's not my message tonight, though, but I just want to throw that. That was free. But the Bible says in John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So if I'm going to contact God, I'm going to contact God with my spirit. Christians miss this. Because you've been trained by the world, you're more flesh orientated. You're more body orientated. You don't realize you are first a spirit. You have a soul made up of your mind, your will, your intellect, and your emotions, and you live in a body. Now, don't turn it backwards and say, well, I have a body, and I have a soul, and I'm a spirit. No, you're primarily first your spirit. Your spirit was created before your body was formed. When you were conceived, your spirit was instantly conceived. And then your body began to form around that spirit. You are first a spirit. You have a soul made up of mind, your will, your intellect, and emotions, and you live in a body. So if I want to contact God, I use my spirit to contact God. Now, don't make this complicated. I still have a brain. I still have a mind that I want to use to contact. That's where I express that love from. But it starts on the way on the inside of me in a place called my spirit. But for me to make contact with God, I got to make sure I keep my mind, my will, my emotions, and my intellect focused on him. Because what you call worship is you'll come in here and you'll sing a song and you'll sing a song at the church you go to and you can't wait till they get done singing so you can sit down. But when you go to a worship service, what you should be saying is, I love you. While they're singing a song, whether it's a song that is, how do I want to say that, Lord? A song that is spiritual and not worldly. You know, there are some songs sung in churches that are not spiritual. They're more worldly than spiritual. Now, when I'm worshiping God like tonight, the Holy Spirit ministers to me. And when she was singing that song, the song says, it is your breath in my lungs. But I can't sing that song that way. You know how I sing that song? It is your grace in my life. It's why I pour out my praise to you. See, he's made it personal for me. And when you begin to spend time with him, that's how the Holy Spirit will relate to you. He'll say, listen, don't just sing this song and sing at God. Sing it to God. Sing it to your Father. You see what I'm saying? Sing it to him. And when you make those changes, it becomes personal. And then he says, oh, that's coming from your heart. Yeah, that's exactly what I want to come from. But remember, that spirit inside of me, how did I express it? It came through my mind, did it not? It had to go through my mind. But if I don't keep all of my mind, all of my intellect, all of my will, all of my emotion focused on him, it becomes lip service. And that's what's happening in most churches today. You got lip service. This is why your faith don't work. This is why you don't see God move the way you want him to move. It's because you're giving God lip service. You're not really worshiping God. Now, I'm not tearing down the church. I'm not trying to be critical. I'm trying to help. I'm trying to tell you why things aren't working, because you think you're giving God. You're prancing and you're spinning and you wee. And it's all in the flesh. None of it's coming out of your spirit. Because you know what you do? It's like this. Now, ladies, don't forgive me for saying this now, okay? But I've been in churches where a woman got prayed for and, woo, she fall out and her wig pop off. And she reach up and grab her wig and put it back on. Now, I'm not picking on the woman. That's happened several times, okay? Okay? But now my point is this. If you're in the spirit, you don't care what's going on, because you and him got something going on. Amen. It ain't about what somebody else sees. Amen. It's about you and him. Now, I'm not putting anybody down. That was the only example I could think of. So I just came with that one. So forgive me if I offended you. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to make a point. The point is that most worship, you're more conscious of yourself and of your circumstances than you are of him. That's what I'm trying to say. Your focus has got to be on him. It's not on you. It's not on the song leader. It's not on Miss Good Looking over there or Mr. Handsome over there that you want to talk to. You hope to bump into him on your way out. It's not about that. I know I'm getting messy, ain't I? It's all right. It's going to be all right now. It's going to be all right. But you keep your mind on him. That's how you offer your soul in worship. See, I contact you with my soul, but with him, I contact him with my spirit. In true worship, you offer to God the part of you that is used to contact others. When I come to his throne, I'm going to offer up my entire soul up to him. I know that, and I'm going to prepare myself for that. That's what I'm doing, and I'm going to teach you how to do that in just a few seconds here. When you begin the process of worshiping God, your soul would tend to wander off into other places on other things to solve problems of the day, or you engage in something else. When I'm worshiping God, don't lean over and try to talk to me. I'm not there to talk to you. I'm there to talk to him. Amen. That doesn't mean I'm off limits. If you got something important to say, yeah, I'll listen. But my point is, I am there to speak to him. I'm not there to speak to you. And if we took that point of view, I promise you, our worship services would be off the chart. It's not how loud your music is. It's not how eloquent the words are. It's not because every word rhymes. That is not, that's not worship. Worship comes from the heart. Amen. Now, I can tell when a person spends time with God. I can tell when you worship God and you spend time with him. And I can tell when you're just kind of going through the motions. I'm not criticizing you. Because why? I don't know where you are in your walk. But all I know is this. I know you need to make a connection with God. And I know in your heart of hearts, you want to. You think that you are. But I'm just here to tell you, as a teacher, you're not. And the reason you're not getting the results that you want is because you don't understand the relationship he wants to have with you. Okay? Don't shut it down now. Now, why am I saying these things? Because your soul tends to get bored real easy. It always wants to be active doing something other than worshiping God properly. Our soul loves to cooperate because our soul loves corporate worship. You know why? Your soul loves corporate worship. You love what you just heard. You love that song. You think you love Loranda singing, but it's because you love the song. Because your mind can still wander on everything else going on in your world. That's why you love it. And when you start going into private worship, many of you will get frustrated at first. At least I did. I didn't realize how untrained my soul was. I didn't realize that I was just simply giving him lip service. Now, if I'm giving him lip service, when I'm giving him praise and worship, do you think maybe I'm giving him lip service when I'm talking to a hurricane? It's the same God. It's the same God. Where is the power to stop that hurricane? Is it in your mind? No. Is it in your flesh? No. Where is that power? It's on the inside of you. And I'm telling you, that if he was the youngest Christian in here, he's got enough power to stop a hurricane. Now, he's got to learn how to reel it all in. He's got to learn how to manage that power. But he's got enough power to stop a hurricane. Now, you know why hurricanes don't stop? It's because folks get around you and go, you'll say, man, I believe the hurricane's going, it ain't going to go anywhere. And somebody will go, you must be crazy. You stupid. Everybody I know says the hurricane is coming. It's a category 3. And if you don't get protected, you're going to get killed. And you know what you do? Because that command not coming from your heart, it's coming from your head. You know what you'll say? Yeah, you're probably right. And you'll go back and listen to the news. And you'll buy water, and you'll buy shelter, and you'll go buy gasoline and everything else. Everybody's buying. I'm not saying, now, if you hear this tape, I'm not saying you shouldn't do those things. I'm not saying that. But if that is your sole motivation, there's something wrong. Something wrong. Your first aspect would be, where is Galveston? It's that way. Harvey, I command you. That should be your first step. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I was tracking Harvey a week ago. And Harvey, I lost him. I thought he was done. I learned something. The devil will always try to find a back door, man. I learned something. Because I couldn't find him on any. I got rid of my app because I said, you sorry thing, you. How come you didn't keep showing me that thing? I thought he was done. And actually, really, the news turned their back on him. We all thought he was finished. And that sucker but that jive time turkey popped up all of a sudden. And I'm going, look at this. Now, you know what? Immediately, if we knew how to worship God, we would have said, Father, we give you praise. That no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. If you knew how to worship God, and then I promise you, the thing would have died right back out. Now, we're here, we're standing against it. I don't know about you, and I don't care about you. What I mean by that is this. I don't know what your confession is, but I know what mine is. Harvey, die! Amen. That's my confession. That's my confession. That's my confession. Now, you may say, well, what if it don't stop? Well, whose side are you on? Why are you on Harvey's side? Why are you on that side of the street? Get over here where the believers are. Come on, now. I don't know why I got off on that. However, a true worshiper will keep his mind engaged on the Father. When their mind tends to wander off, guess what they'll do? They'll go over and get it. Mm-hmm. See, when you start worshiping God, because your mind right now has a tendency to do whatever it wants to do, many Christians have this big problem. Traffic runs through your mind, And you'll sit there for 10 or 15 minutes thinking about it. And it ain't a godly thing about it. Now, can I go a little further with that? That's where your anxiety, that's where your depression, that's where your fear, that's where all that stuff comes from. And you say, well, I don't think about that stuff. You just don't understand. You don't realize you are thinking about it, but you are. A guy named Andrew Womack always says this: you think sick. And you think, no, I don't think sick. Yes, you do. See, when you let that stuff run in your mind, you're thinking sick.
That's right.
You're thinking sick. You're thinking trouble. See, when your imagination says, you know what? When you get home, your house is on fire and it's done burned to the ground. I don't know how many times I've come from a convention and my mom would go, man, your house is burned up. Man, finally what I got, I start saying, you're going to realize when I turn this corner, that house is still standing there, and then what you going to do? I turned the corner and there it was, still there. He ain't touched it. But my mind, I could have let those thoughts just run and run and run, and guess what would happen? One day, it would have happened. As a man thinketh, as a man, and as a woman now, it ain't no gender specific verse here. As a person thinks, so is he. You want to know why you're in the condition you're in right now? Because you're thinking that way. Well, no, I don't. Oh, yes, you do. Now, you may be coming out of it, but you thought such a way, that's where you are right now. Again, you may be coming out of it. I'm not saying you're still doing it. I pray you're not doing it. I pray you've gotten into worship. You want to get rid of that negative thinking? You want to get rid of those idle thoughts? Start giving God praise one-on-one when nobody's looking. Start giving God praise. Start worshiping God. Now, when I say worshiping God, don't turn your CD on and try to worship God that way. That's you're going to be motivated by the words and the beat and the song. No, turn that thing off and begin to go, Father, I give you praise. Now, the first thing you ought to do is say this: Holy Spirit, this is what I told him. Holy Spirit, it's your job to teach me to worship Him. Isn't that what the Bible says in John 16, 13? When He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He shall what? Guide you into all truth. Well, isn't there a truth about worship?
Amen.
You think Jesus set this woman down at the well and start talking about true worshipers because He had nothing else to talk about? No, ma'am. No, sir. He brought something to the church that the church knows very little about. I used to hear things about people say, the song leaders is going to put out a canopy of praise. And we're all going to get up on this canopy of praise. And yokes are going to be destroyed. And we're going to be free. There may be some truth in that. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're not participating in that worship and allowing the Spirit of God on the inside of you and the Holy Ghost in you to begin to give God worship one-on-one, you're not going to see very many mountains moved. God can move in that kind of atmosphere. I'm not saying He can't, but He can move mightily when we're all giving Him private worship one-on-one. So when the song is up here singing, yeah, you're listening to her sing, but you ought to be going, I give you praise. I mean this. I worship you. I love you more than life itself. I give you praise. I worship you. And listen to the Holy Spirit as He begins to direct you on how to make that praise personal. Don't allow the instruments to drown out who God truly is. You know, we think in this generation we got to get loud music, we got to have more lights, and yada, 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 yada. That is not going to get people to worship God. It'll get people to collectively worship God, like at a concert. But what makes a concert different than a worship service? Tell me, what makes a concert different than a worship service? If I go to a concert and hear a Christian band or group play, what makes it different than my worship service? What's the difference, anybody? What's the difference? There is no difference. The difference is when the worshipers begin to worship God one on one. Now we got worship.
Amen.
Now we got worship. Otherwise, we just got us a glorified concert. Again, I'm not against corporate worship. I'm not. I'm just saying, you come out of going, woohoo, woohoo, man, that was good. And the guy bumps your car and you about tear his head off. That tells me the worship, you wasn't connected with him. No, you weren't connected with him. You were connected to El Diablo. Come on now. Don't shout me down. I'm preaching real good. I'm telling you. That's not worship. Worship changes you. Worship makes you a new person. Worship begins to allow you to see what God's been trying to tell you all along. Why? Because your flesh gets left at the brazen altar. Your flesh gets cut from ear to ear. Your flesh gets left there. You look back and go, now you're dead. I'm going on into the Holy of Holies. And that's what you want to leave you. You don't want to care. God will not allow your flesh to come in his presence. We heard this verse. I'm not going to sit here and try to preach on it right now. But the Father said this to Moses. No man has ever seen me and lived. No man. But what did Jesus say? What did Jesus say? Come on, somebody. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. See, you're able to go into a place that nobody else was able to go but you. The priest, the high priest, could go there. But that veil was rent from top to bottom. And God was going, come on in. But there are conditions to coming on in. When a true worshiper, their mind begins to wander off, they go out and get it, and they say, you come back here, and you remain in the moment. Amen. A true worshiper trains their mind to respect the king. They don't give the king lip service. In the beginning, here's how you train yourself to be a true worshiper. Father, I give you praise. And you count 1,001, 1,002, and you ask yourself, am I in the present? Is my mind on this, or am I thinking about a problem? Now, after a while, you won't have to do that. You'll just know, I'm listening. I'm hearing every word I'm saying. I'm talking to him. I'm all here. I'm not working on some problem. My mind is here.
Amen.
Okay, but to begin with, you say, I love you. 1,001, 1,002. Now, don't do this. Don't say 1,001, 1,002 out loud, and you get your mind on your counting. Okay? You know, a lot of times we teach people to pray in tongues while they can read a book, read the Bible. The reason why most people struggle with it is because you pray in tongues too loud. See, praying in tongues, it has to be loud. You, I'm still praying in tongues. Just because you don't hear me, that's not your deal. I'm still praying in tongues. Now, the thing is this. Can I pray in tongues in my mind? Yeah. But here's your problem. When you don't allow your tongue to connect, you break the cycle, and all of a sudden you'll find yourself thinking about something different. So that's why I always run that. I always make sure my tongue is moving. Now, I've prayed in tongues in my mind. I've done that. But I get a greater benefit when I pray in tongues, and it's just a soft whisper. So I don't teach you to pray in tongues or in your mind. You can. I don't think there's a law against it. I don't think the Holy Ghost gives you a ticket. But you may not get the benefits that you're looking for. Okay?
Amen.
So in the beginning, you train yourself. Here's the thing is also, when you say, Father, I love you, here's the next thing. The next thing is you got to begin to pour all of yourself into that statement. Pour everything that you are into that statement. It's not the words that you say. It's not how eloquent your terms are. It's that you are pouring yourself into it. Now, let me give you an example. I have to use a negative thing to give you the example. How many of you have been so mad at somebody you just poured yourself into it? Oh, now, you get it? Did you see that? It was a flash and you saw it. You poured yourself into that. You were so mad. I mean, you just said stuff, and some of that stuff you didn't even think about. It was just coming out. And after you said it, you went. You know why you said those things? Because you poured yourself into it. Wow. That stuff is built up in you. Out of the abundance of the heart. Hello, somebody. Come on. See, all that stuff comes out. See, you thought that was all out, but it's still coming out. As a man thinketh, so is he. You need to watch what you're thinking. And I know people say, well, I don't think like that. Just by talking to you, yes, you do. See, people think I have some special gift to minister one-on-one. I just listen to what you say. After I listen to what you say, I can locate where you are. Once I locate where you are, then I just go to work on that. That's not me. Oh, yeah, it is. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen. All I have to do is let you talk for three or four minutes, 5 minutes. I know exactly where your faith level is. I'm not judging you. I'm just going, I want to help you. But after a while, you know what you'll start doing? You'll start resisting me. You'll start going, you're getting too personal. Well, what happened? Now you're in the flesh and you're defending the flesh. The spirit man doesn't need defending. He don't have to be defended. You know why? God defends him. God is his avenger. He don't need to be defended. Okay? This is why after a while, am I doing good? Amen, brother. After a while, you won't care what people think about you. Why? Because you'll walk in the spirit and you won't give a rip what they think about you. They may call you ugly. They may call you fat. They may call you uncouth. It doesn't matter. If you're with God, it doesn't matter. Now, I'm going to get off on this word again. You African-American people, you got to get over the big N. You got to get over yourselves. Because if somebody come called you the big N, you are mad. Why? Because you poured yourself into that statement. Don't shout me down now. Now, I'm saying about the big N, but it happens with Latinos, Hispanics, Caucasians. I can call some Caucasians some names, and you'd turn red. See, what you don't understand is the devil plays, he don't play fair. He goes on both sides of the camp, and he'll give me things to say about you to make you just boiling mad, okay? But the thing is this, I had to learn to cut that stuff off. Amen. That's going to cut that stuff off. That's my flesh. Amen? But I'm talking about how you're pouring yourself into a statement of adoration, a statement of praise, because what you are is what's going to come out. Now, the thing is this, when you first start worshiping God, guess what you're going to find inside of you? Can I just be honest with you? Yes. Very little. Wow. That's right. Very little. Because all you know how to contact is your flesh. So now, to contact your spirit is going to take some training. Mm-hmm. Now, don't look at me like, what is he talking about? Listen to me. Mm-hmm. You've heard more sermons than Carter got little liver pills. If you allow your spirit to start bringing that stuff up, you'll start saying it. See, how many have a worship song you just love? You can sing it better than the person that wrote it or the person that sings it. You got one? Now, is it scriptural? Are you sure? Have you asked the Holy Spirit, is that scriptural? Because I've heard some songs recently, I'm going, ain't no faith in that at all. Now, I heard one Sunday, I'm like, y'all got something now. And it was something about tell the devil not today. I was like, oh, come on now. Come on now. Now we ginning now. Now you can take that song, and because you've poured yourself into that, you can pour that out in private worship. It's a good song. It's scripturally correct. You can pour that out. I poured myself out in a song called Waymaker. Man, I got hooked on Waymaker one time, and the Holy Ghost said, now, listen, he's a Waymaker. I said, yeah, he makes a way where there is no way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, and he's a narrow pathway, too. Oh, I just kept quiet. All that stuff just started coming out. But the Waymaker, tapped into the reservoir. And it was already in my spirit. I just let him tap into it, and it came out. And that's how you do it. But you got to learn to tap into the things of the spirit, not the things of the flesh. The same way when you get mad and you tell somebody, you ever heard the old saying, give them a piece of your mind? Well, the reason you can give someone a piece of your mind, because you tap into that flesh and it just starts coming out. And it lets you know your flesh is alive. But the thing is this, when you want to give someone a piece of your mind, you ought to go, I ain't doing it. I'm not going. No. No. And what will happen? Your flesh will start to die. It'll start to die. Every time you allow your flesh to have an outburst like that, your flesh goes, woohoo, I got life. And many of you are giving your flesh life. I have to be careful on the freeway. When you driving crazy, oh man, my flesh wants to, I want to tap into my flesh. Oh my God. I'm just being honest. I'm just being honest. And that's the area that I have to watch. I got to quit tapping into that. I got to go, no, 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 no. Am I perfect? No way. I ain't perfect yet. I had somebody ride me the other day. In my back seat, man, I thought they had brakes and a steering wheel back there. They hitting brakes, they turning, and I'm going, I got this. I got this. Leave me be. Oh, man. You know what I'm saying? But the point is this. See, it's that kind of stuff that can get me to tap into the flesh. Now, the person that's doing that is not intentionally trying to get me to tap into the flesh, but El Diablo is there going, yeah, go on, dip into it, right? Just for a little bit. Yeah. Just tap it a little bit. It's okay. And if I bite off on that, guess what happens? Now it gets to be a habit. So, but what I'm trying to explain to you is this. I said, all that say this. You can tap into things. You can tap into your spirit. You have a reservoir there you can tap into. You've been taught a lot of lessons. Learn to tap into those things and allow that stuff to come out when you begin to worship God. That's all worship really is. Do you really think you put the words in your heart to worship God? No. You're no different than the father taking the son to the mall, giving the son $30. The son takes $30, go buys his father a tie that the father won't never like, but he buys the son a tie. The son wraps it all up and says, Dad, here's your father's gift. Well, who bought the tie? The dad bought the tie, but the son gave it to him. Listen, God does the same thing. He'll give you the words. Amen. He just wants you to give it back to him. Amen. That's all. It just shows that you love him. It's the same thing. It's the same. He's giving you the words to say. He wants you to tap into those words, but this time when you tap into them, put your whole heart, your mind, your will, your emotions, and your intellect into everything that you say. Are you hearing me? Amen. I'm spending time on this because I want you to know what it means to tap into it. It's there. But to tap into it, it means during the day when you want to tap into your flesh, you got to go, no! You got to resist it. See, if I hear Lewis preach something, and I've heard him preach before. He's a good preacher. But let's just say he says something wrong. I can shut down. I can tap into my flesh and go, he can't teach. He ain't no good. He'll never teach. Now, he's a good teacher. But I can, in my mind, I'll never call on him. Why? Because I think he's a bad teacher. Why? Because I tapped into something wrong. So when I hear something wrong like that, I don't instantly go, that's not right. No, I go, huh. I'm going to pray God reveals it to him and reveals it to me. Sometimes revelation knowledge for me. Sometimes I go, wow, I didn't know that. Sometimes I go, I don't know about that. It doesn't mean, but the thing is this, I'm not going to tap into my flesh where I shut down. I'm going to tap into my spirit where I go, feed me, show me this. One of us is wrong. I ain't picking on you now. Don't get defensive. Yes, sir. Amen to that.
To let your heart speak.
Amen.
It really touches on what you're saying. It's because, like, Pastor, you can get all kinds of other things mixed up when you're in fellowship with God, but when you really let your heart speak to him, that's the connection right there.
But that heart has to come through your mind. That heart that he's talking about, it still must come through your mind. That's the only avenue it can get out. Yeah, he knows what you're thinking, but he wants to hear it through your own lips, which goes through your mind. It has to happen. Yes, sir. Okay.
And, you know, flesh is dead. The soul is the will, the mind, and the emotion. And the spirit is life. And Genesis 2:7, it says, man became a living soul.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's the thing where you're talking about, like, that's the difference between music worship and, spiritual worship.
Okay.
Because in the spirit, you're in the side of life, in the
true
side closer to God.
Yes.
But the problem with music is it starts with your senses, essential. It starts
that's
with
good
your
analogy.
Hearing. It starts with your hearing. It's
good analogy.
Whatever you're seeing in the concert, like the lights and all.
Good analogy. Nice. So what you're saying is you're being stimulated externally.
Yes.
You're not being stimulated internally.
Mm.
That's really what he's saying.
Yeah.
Okay? That's good analogy, though. See, that came through revelation knowledge. Because I can tell you this, he spends time praying in tongues. That's how he got that. You're not going to get that because you drive around and you drive by the church, you go through the church and you sit in the church. You're not going to get that kind of revelation. It's when you spend time with God. Just because you work in the church, just because you're in 10 ministries at the church, it doesn't mean that you're communicating with God. You can't expect God to accept your work that you do with your hands, your mind, or whatever, and exchange that for one-on-one time. He won't accept it. That was Cain slew Abel, right? That was Cain's problem. Cain tried to say, God, I raise vegetables. Abel raises animals. Well, if Abel can bring an animal, I want to bring my vegetables. It wasn't about vegetation or an animal. It was about the blood. That's what it was about. And Cain never saw that. That's why he missed the whole thing. It was about blood being sacrificed. It was about him going to the brazen altar advocate. I hope I get to that in a few minutes here. But now listen, when you begin to bring your mind back, when you begin to correct your mind, what will eventually happen is the Holy Spirit will take ascendancy over your senses and place them under an anointing. He'll literally take your senses and place them under an anointing.
Yes.
And all of a sudden now you're going, whoa, I like this worship stuff. Oh, praise the Lord. But then don't get happy, honey, because it's going to last for a short time and you're going to leave. Why? Because he doesn't want you to get used to feelings. The spirit realm is not about feelings. But as you begin to break into these things because you are a child, he'll use those things to keep encouraging you and keep leading you along that way. But eventually, in the long run, the feelings are okay. But in the interim, they can ruin you. Because you'll be going, ooh, I got goosebumps. Ooh, I got goosebumps today. God was here. And God ain't associated with the goosebumps. Your flesh responds to that stuff, and he's got to get you to understand that. It's not that the goosebumps came because he's there. Your flesh responds to God in that way. But you got to train your spirit that's not how God wants you to perceive his presence. He wants you to what? Trust him that he's there. Now, when you trust him that he's there, he'll begin to show up a whole lot more. But first, you got to trust him. This is what faith is all about. The reason why people have... Do you remember? People think that faith is about the size of it. But faith is not about the size of it. He uses the term, oh, ye of little faith, oh, ye of great faith. But it's not this big or this big. No, it's the consistency, the propensity, the constance of it. In other words, I'm going to talk to Harvey and when it's raining. See, many of you, if it begins to rain, you'll go, I guess our prayers didn't work. Not me. I'm going to keep talking to him. Amen. And I'm going to kick him in the rear as he gets out of here. Amen. That's great faith. Little faith is, oh, I thought it would work. We prayed. Pastor prayed. But there not, it came anyway. Oh, ye of little faith. Oh, ye of no faith. But great faith said, I'm going to keep talking to you. Why? It seems like I didn't win this round, but there'll be another time. And I got great faith. Are you hearing me? But most people say, well, I guess it didn't work. No, it's working. The devil's also working against you. Quit allowing him to talk you out of what God has already given you. Okay, in these last few minutes, I want to talk about something I've been teasing you about for a long time. I'm going to take 5 minutes and I want to talk about the brazen altar. The brazen altar. We must learn how to, at anywhere and any time, get past the flesh through the brazen altar. At the brazen altar, the flesh is offered as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. Would you put up Romans chapter 12? Romans chapter 12 says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. It didn't say present somebody else's body. It didn't present the body of an animal. It says present your body. A living sacrifice. Oxymoron. Isn't that right? Isn't that what they call that? Oxymoron. How can you have a living sacrifice? Every sacrifice I ever had was dead. A living sacrifice. When you see terms like that, just know God is going, he's going deep on you, man. He's trying to get you to hear something you've never heard before. Don't read over those words and think, that don't make any sense. What's God doing? God's telling you something, but he's thinking up here. He's thinking God. You're thinking Elvin. You're thinking Susan. You're thinking Eric. Stop and go, Holy Spirit, reveal this to me. What is a living sacrifice? Wholly acceptable unto God. Notice the word you is something that you must do. The word you is something that you must do and not the worship leader. The worship leader doesn't offer your body a living sacrifice. You do. What is the sacrifice? Bringing my mind back to him. Man, they got a brand new guitar person up there. Woo! Man, look at that pianist. Oh, man, she's fine. You think you're presenting your body a living sacrifice? No. So you're interested. It could be the lights. It could be the sound. It could be somebody doing something in the corner. You're not presenting your body a living sacrifice anymore. You're allowing your mind to wander, and it's not focusing on him. That's the point I'm trying to get across to you. The term living sacrifice does sound kind of strange, meaning the Old Testament worship, all of the sacrifices were killed. So what does it mean to present your body a living sacrifice? Your body represents the flesh. It's the part of you that's been conformed to the world. Put up Romans chapter 12, verse 2, please. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If it says be not conformed to the world, then it must have meant you got conformed to the world. Mm-hmm. See, let me give you an example. Hurricane coming. Oh, man. Man, last time one came through here, man, we had 4 foot of water in our house. Everything got washed away. Lost my car. And you start dwelling on that. What are you doing? What are you doing? There you go. You've been conformed to the world. And when you should, just straighten your backbone and say, in the name of Jesus, you're not coming to my house. And then go and say, God, I give you praise. I worship you. I glorify and magnify your name. I don't care how big Harvey gets. You're going to find me sometime between now and tomorrow morning. I'm going to be giving God some praise. God, I give you praise. Why? Whether Harvey dies in the Gulf or whether Harvey comes over Houston, I'm still going to give God praise. He's still God. Amen. Harvey will go out into the Gulf or into the Atlantic, but Jesus is King. Amen. And my Father reigns. Always. He'll never change. But now Harvey is trying to change you. And when Harvey changes you, you think, well, I protected myself. No, you caved in and you had no faith. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to hurt your feelings, but that's the way it is. See, I don't come to these Bible studies just to make you feel good. I come to teach you something. So when you get out there in the road of life, you know how to fight. John Osteen would always tell me this, fight life through. Well, I'm teaching you how to fight life through. That's what God told me one day. He said, son, what you're doing is you're teaching people, you're making disciples, and you're teaching them how to fight life through and then say, the dream is true or God is true.
Amen.
That's what we're doing. The brazen altar was the place in the Old Testament or in the temple, Old Testament, where animals were slain for the atonement of one's sins. The brazen altar is a type and shadow of salvation. Jesus is our brazen altar advocate, meaning he took our place, he shed his blood to remove our sins. When, I'm getting ahead of myself, but when in the Old Testament, when that person would bring that lamb to that brazen altar, they would lay their hands on that lamb. That person's sins were transferred to that lamb. That lamb's throat was cut from ear to ear and blood ran. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get gross. I'm not going to eat in a minute, but I'm sorry. But that blood ran. And then with that blood, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies. Now, if you learn to sacrifice your mind or your flesh and leave it at the brazen altar, God will receive you into the Holy of Holies.
Amen.
If you haven't spent time in private worship, you've never experienced God the way he truly wants you to experience him.
Amen.
You've experienced him through another man. You've experienced him through a CD. You've experienced him through music. But you need to experience him one on one.
Amen.
You know when you do that, what's going to happen? All of your doubts about the word not working will vanish away. All of a sudden you'll begin to realize he's real. And all of a sudden, you'll begin to realize his word is true. And then you'll begin to realize, I can trust him.
Amen.
Just because you left your flesh at the brazen altar and you came boldly to the throne of grace and mercy.
Amen.
That's what that verse means.
Amen.
That's what it means. It means you belong there. There is a place that you belong, and it's a place called private worship.
Sure.
You belong there.
Amen.
Jesus is your brazen altar advocate. And the Holy Ghost will teach you how to take your flesh and cut it from ear to ear so that turkey dies.
Amen.
At the brazen altar. And then you'll be ushered in by Jesus and he'll say, Father, I want to bring one of your daughters to you. They've never been here before, so I come with them to kind of show them around the place a little bit. And then the Father goes, now listen, he says, come back more often. Come back more often, because you won't need Jesus again. You'll know how to come to him.
Amen.
Why? Because you've learned how to sacrifice your flesh at the brazen altar. What does that brazen altar represent? If when your mind runs out here on a problem, you go, nope, come back here. We're going to respect the king.
Amen.
And we're going to worship him. Now, for most of you, that may be every 5 seconds. And many of you get weary in well-doing. And you'll think, I can't do this. And the devil goes, I got him now.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go, no. If he said I could worship him in spirit and in truth, and he's seeking me to worship him, I'm going to worship him.
Amen.
Now, you'll start out with 5 minutes. And you'll think, well, that wasn't too bad. And you'll take it to 15. And you'll think, that's pretty good too. But then you'll get a hunger and you're going, I want to see you.
Amen.
Where you be?
Amen.
And you'll go a little bit further and you'll see
Amen.
Him. Now, when you see him, he'll stay there for a little while, and guess what he'll do? He'll retreat. He'll retreat. Why? He's not teasing you. What he's saying is, I want you to trust that I'm here and not rely upon your feelings.
Amen.
There'll be times when you can worship him for hours like that. And people will say, what's wrong with you? I'm building character.
Amen.
I'm building character.
Hallelujah.
I'm trusting in God once and for all.
Glory.
You really want to take your faith to another level? Mm-hmm. Learn to worship God in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
Now, there's going to be a time. I'm going to come back and teach a whole message on the brazen altar. Mm-hmm. I just want to give you a taste of it.
Amen.
Just want to give you a little taste of it. Mm-hmm. But your mind, your will, and your emotions must be present, and you must pour all that you are into every statement of adoration and every statement of praise. Now, one last thing. There's a difference between statements of affirmation and statements of, gosh, what do you call them?
Confirmation.
Huh? Maybe confirmation. In other words, by his stripes I'm healed. That's confirmation. I don't go before him and say, I thank you that you healed me. No. What I first do is just say, I love you. I worship you. I magnify you. I glorify your name. I honor your name. Now, when I say that and I begin to enter in, once I'm there, he says, what do you want? And I said, I want to be healed. He said, done. Come back more often. Come back more often. Don't be shy. Come on back. I want you here. See, you belong there. But you got to be taught how to get there. You belong at that altar. I mean, you belong at the Holy of Holies. He's in you right now, but he wants to experience you on a whole different level than you experience him right now. You ain't seen nothing yet. I don't care if your worship leader is good-looking, blue eyes, blonde, or all that in the bag of Cheetos. You ain't been anywhere yet. You have not, and I'm not knocking that. I'm not knocking a worship leader, but you haven't been anywhere yet until you get in his presence, you're going, oh. I've had to tell him, listen, you got to stop. I can't take this. What's he telling me? He's saying, you ain't used to being here. You ain't used to being here. Well, I wasn't. Now, bring it on. Bring it on. And I love when he says, now, come back more often. Now, the thing is this. See, I can be edified by praying in the spirit. I can be edified by doing that. But when I want to get into his presence, I got to get rid of that flesh at the brazen altar. I cannot bring my flesh to him. He won't allow it. I won't see him with that flesh. It has to be left behind, and it has to be my choice. It has to be your choice. And your flesh, and when I say flesh, let me give you a synonym for flesh. Self. Self. That's your flesh. Self. It's got to die. It will die. You cannot take self to that brace, to the Holy of Holies. You can't take him in there with you. It's just you. It's just you. Did you get anything tonight? Man, I tell you what, I am having so much fun with these messages. I don't know about y'all. But I have a whole new appreciation. You know, I went back when I taught these messages about 7 or 8 years ago. It's a whole different revelation now.
Amen.
It's whole different.
Amen.
I had just started to understand it then. Now I'm living it.
Wow.
And I want you to live it.
Amen.
I'm telling you.
Glory.
It'll take your preaching to a new level.
Amen.
It'll take your believing to a new level. Why? Because you realize he is more real than you've ever thought before.
Mm-hmm.
He is real.
Amen.
You can't talk me in saying he's not real. He is real.
Mm-hmm.
If that hurricane, if it turns to a hurricane, and if it comes in, it comes through, he's still real to me.
Amen.
You ain't talking me out of that.
Amen.
See, you can't tell me Just because a hurricane came through and I prayed for it and stopped, or I went to a hospital and I prayed for somebody that had a death sentence and they died, you can't tell me he's not real. Now, what you're telling me is there's something in me that has to die. And I'm going to look at you and say, there's something in you that got to die too.
Amen.
That's our problem. Mm-hmm. That's our problem. And when I listen to you say things like that, guess what happens? All of a sudden now, I start to recoil. Mm-hmm. I start to back off from God. Not going to happen with
Amen.
Me anymore. Just not going to happen.
Amen.
Just not going to happen. You can criticize me. You can tell me. You can talk about me on Facebook. I don't look at it anyway. I don't really care. I could care less. I'm serious about that. It don't bother me. I've had people say, man, you dress like, who do you dress like? I could care less. As long as I'm not naked, I could care less. I'm serious about that. I'm not trying to impress you with my dress. As long as my shoes are comfortable. Listen, women, y'all wear shoes and be going, I don't do that. I'm going to wear them wide and comfortable. Because why? I ain't trying to impress nobody. I don't care. Well, that's because you old. No, I got smart.
Amen.
I got smart. I realized trying to impress you is just going to be something I can never fulfill.
Amen.
You're going to always criticize something about me.
Amen.
I'm the wrong color tone. I talk too fast. My eye is positioned, my head the wrong, something. My ears are too small, something. So I've learned, as long as God is pleased with me, who cares what you think? And I'm going to tell you this, get out of your flesh. That's all that is. The world, Romans 12:2, you've been conformed to the world. You got to drive a new car every year. You got to have the latest clothes. You think, oh, that's cool? Listen, God could care less. And there's coming a day, ladies and gentlemen, all the young folk in here. There's some over here. Young folk. I'm telling you, there's coming a day when you'll look back on all this stuff and you'll go, what were we thinking?
That's right. That's so true.
I'm looking back on it now going, what in the world was I thinking?
Mm-hmm.